Okay, that should be working. Can you hear me? Hello?
Hey,
Hello?
Rico. Hello.
You're there!
Do I click the link? Which
Just
link?
no.
Which link do
Oh
I need?
my God.
The Clem and Em podcast with Clemmie Stewart and Emma Kell.
Well, hi there, and welcome to another edition of the Clem and Em podcast, but it is a pretty unusual one. We are miles apart, we have no idea what we're doing, the technology may well not work, but we are giving it a go because we need to be together even if we are being socially isolated, aren't we, Em?
Yes, and it's so bizarre not being able to see your face, Clem. One advantage is you can't make me collapse into giggles, but so I am cooped up, cabin fevered to the hilt, surrounded by cups of coffee and half finished to-do list. How's your day been?
Mine's been quite different. I've been at school all day because I'm looking after key worker children. So this is the first bit of peace I've had all day. So actually, it's really nice to join up with you for a virtual coffee. But I do admit it's a bit strange not seeing your face.
I know. It's really weird. And it's, yeah, and I keep talking over you. I know. I'm so sorry.
And I keep not stepping in time. There we go.
So what can possibly go wrong? It's all going to be marvellous. So no one really knew what to expect from today, did they, Clem? How was it? I'm really curious to know.
I tell you, it's really strange. So I was up until late last night on Twitter just seeing what was going on. And I must admit, I was quite nervous going into school today. But actually, as you well know, as soon as you step through the school gates, normal days begin, even if they're very unusual days like today. And I had the pleasure of spending the entire day with reception to year six, albeit all in one classroom. Although I would love to know if any of our listeners have got any advice on keeping our early years children 2 metres apart.
What they were saying about playgrounds yesterday on the news. Yeah, it's fine for them to go to a playground. Try keeping a 5-year-old 2 metres apart from another 5-year-old.
Exactly.
I must admit, I'm listening to you with great envy. I am desperate to be out and about and in schools. And it's that horrible feeling of uselessness. But, you know, I'm fine 1 minute and the next minute it's just like, oh, because I think it's just in teachers' DNA, isn't it, to want to get out and do stuff. And it is so disconcerting knowing that actually I would be making things worse because I go to lots of different schools. Yeah. And I'm probably a super spreader, as someone told me, which sounds quite prestigious.
Super spreader.
because I have been working with so many different people until last Wednesday when it all came to a bizarre halt. So we want to talk a little bit about how this virus is affecting everybody. We want to reach out to teachers. You can find us on Twitter at Clem and Em. And we just want to go through some of the issues that have arisen for us personally and for all of you out there.
Yeah, and I think also try and find a positive path through it. You know, I spent a lot of time yesterday saying, but I'm looking forward to going back in. And I think in these unprecedented times where people are finding it really hard, it is what it is. We've got to make it work. And I think if there's anything that you and I can do to help our community of listeners and fellow educators and those who aren't educators to find a way through this, then that can only be a positive outcome.
Yeah, you sound more upbeat than I feel today. It's that feeling that all of the rules have changed.
Yeah, there is no normal.
There is no normal. And this whole idea of what actually matters, I'm finding this quite interesting, that once you strip away that very basic, all of those routines, the human contact, all of the things that we've completely taken for granted, the hugs from our mums, all of those things, you know, all of those data meetings, worrying about Ofsted, performance appraisal, none of that stuff matters.
Yeah, you're so right. And I think what's really interesting is you've got a slightly sort of further away look at it. That's brilliantly put. You can tell I spent the entire day in the classroom today. But you've had that distance look at it from what people are saying online and how people are finding that experience. What is it that matters? What's coming out for you that really matters to people at the moment?
Well, I think it's one word. It's trust. Obviously, it's been an absolute nightmare for school leaders. And hats off to you for sounding so positive, Clem, because it's been it must have just been exhausting because all of the announcements were changing every day, announcements coming out at 5 in the evening, school leaders having to be up until past midnight working out how to respond, how to communicate with their staff, how to be realistic but not alarmist.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I think I feel much more upbeat today because I've known what I'm doing. I've gone into school, I've taught some children, I've come home again, whereas the last sort of week, maybe 2 weeks, was just every night thinking, will we be open tomorrow? What's the latest press conference going to say? And then the sheer frustration when nothing was said was really tricky. And I think the balance for school leaders at the moment is trying to make sure that our key worker kids are okay, our staff aren't at unnecessary risk. I'd just like to publicly say none of my staff are being asked to come in and do displays or laminating or photocopying. They are all being encouraged to stay at home. But also, you know, how are we navigating this so that our community feels calm and reassured, but also up to date on what's going on?
So many poignant moments. It's going to take us time to process them all. But I was in one of the schools where I worked last week. Just remarkable staff working with in very challenging circumstances anyway. And that moment when the head of the school said to them, we need to keep away from each other.
Oh.
And that was just this complete silence, because, of course, it flies in the face of that sense of solidarity and community and theirness to one another that we're all so used to. And it was just this incredibly just sad moment.
Yeah, it was a very sad few days, although you can always rely on reception to bring it back. So I was in reception on Friday and one of them said to me, but Miss Stewart, when will we see you again? And I said, well, I don't really know the answer to that, which, of course, all children expect you to know the answer to everything. And she said, well, will it be after this weekend, but before Christmas? And I went, yeah, you've hit the nail on the head. It will be after this weekend and it will be before Christmas. And she seems happy with that. So that's now my answer.
Oh, that's lovely. And yeah, I think the vast majority of school leaders like you have done a brilliant job of making staff feel trusted and reassured, but there have been some horror stories as well.
I know.
I've had teachers, probably about 10 teachers, contact me in states of acute anxiety, one saying she'd just had a panic attack because she'd been told that if she didn't go into work today, she'd be in breach of contract.
What is that based on? I saw that. What is that based on?
I have no idea. All I can think is that, you know, really it's that cliche now. It's all become the cliche of the coronavirus, that, you know, this situation brings out both the best and the worst in people. And I think possibly in an attempt to bring control to the situation, of the few, a minority of heads are citing things like directed time, telling staff they're going to need to make up any days they miss. And I'm afraid, I'm going to admit that I've been completely unprofessional, because all the rules have changed. And to every single one of those teachers who's contacted me, I've said, just don't go in. If your mental health, if not your physical health, is under threat, you are not well enough to be there.
Now, that display tweet, tell me that was from one of the parody accounts that we all find so funny. Tell me that there aren't actually staff being asked to go in.
No, there were I've had one from a teacher, one from a TA, being asked to go in and work on displays today. Now, I don't know.
What that end?
I suppose the dilemma is school staff are still being paid. So there is a sense that because people are being paid, they have to be putting in the hours in some form or another. And for heads who are quite used to overseeing and checking on every activity that happens, it's that sense that actually we need to know that you're justifying your existence.
God, that's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of the staff at my school do listen to this podcast, and I'm desperately hoping that none of them currently feel even any weight of expectation. I know we've had lots of emails that have come out from our leadership team saying, stay at home. We urge you to stay at home. Please stay at home, because we want them to be well. We want to be well for their families, and we want them to be well for the kids. And actually, they'll plan some pretty incredible virtual lessons if they're well and in a good place at home, not if they're struggling through coronavirus whilst also trying to put up a display, double laminate a piece of work and do everything else that, I think, going back to your point, doesn't really matter.
It's that whole idea. And actually, you know what's really weird and actually broke my heart a bit is I was so desperate to get in and be part of the solution at the end of last week, but I wasn't needed.
I
was in contact with my local head teacher, going practically begging her, just please, please, please let me come in and out, please.
Need me.
But what's incredible, of course, is that every teacher feels like this. And because I'm no longer affiliated to one particular school, they had quite enough teachers willing to put themselves, their personal safety on the line in order to be helpful. And I think as a profession, we're going to face a huge psychological mountain,
yeah,
because it's in our DNA, it's our raison d'être to help and to be doing stuff. And if and when schools do close completely, I think that we're really going to have to be very kind to ourselves, very kind to each other.
But you know what? Sorry, Stokovia, you know who needs you more, though? That's your kids. And that's what we keep saying to our staff is, you know, you've got children at home, you've got mums and dads, you've got families, they need you more. And that's a very hard thing to take. And then you look at teachers like me who don't have kids. It's just that constant personal struggle with getting it right. And I know a lot of my teachers at school are really wrangling with wanting to be there for the kids, but wanting to be well, not wanting to give things to their families when they go home. It's tough, but as you said, it's not the new norm. Well, it is the new norm. The no rules is the new norm. It's nigh on impossible. But the one thing that we all do need to be going into work for are these key worker children. And again, you know, we all enjoyed waiting up till 1 o'clock in the morning for that list. How's that playing out? What kind of stuff are you seeing on Twitter about key workers?
Well, initially, so we woke up on Friday morning, Rav and I, and the key worker list had finally arrived. Yeah, it arrived in the middle of the night, didn't it? Middle of Thursday night or something. I don't know. And I was fully prepared to be where I am now, which is at home with the kids and prioritizing all of the things I don't usually prioritize, like washing up,
cooking.
And then we lay there first thing in the morning and we read the list and we went, we're both on it. And for a moment, we were both, we're both quite switched on to everything that's going on, genuinely confused, because there seemed to be an implication that we had almost a social duty to keep working. So it took us a good half an hour to go, right, you're a key worker, I'm a key worker. Does this mean we should morally be sending our kids to school? And a lot of people were extremely confused. So when schools said, are you a key worker? Initially, some schools were getting up to 30, 40% of parents saying, yes, we are. And of course, head teachers, again, God knows how they coped. They must have been exhausted by this point, beyond exhausted.
Yeah.
We're thinking, oh, my God, we're basically still open. And then what happened over the weekend was admittedly quite clear government guidance on stay at home, stay at home, stay at home. And a lot of people were sharing that. And I think a lot of parents did think again, as we did, and decide that actually that key line of can your child be looked after safely at home? So who I'm really curious to know, that you're on the ground. Who did you end up with? What kinds of children?
Primarily kids, both of whose parents are doctors and nurses, doing some incredible work in the local hospitals. Really quite scary work, actually, if you unpick it with them. Kids whose parents are in the army and responding at a really high level with the army. So all the ones you'd expect. And I think, you know, all credit to our parents. They've been really sensible about this and are only sending their children in if they absolutely have to. And you can see it drop off them, the weight of responsibility. You can see it in some of our parents. And you just suddenly become acutely aware of your moral obligation to be looking after these children and making these children feel comfortable and safe about the fact of where their parents are going to work. I did see a brilliant thread on Twitter. Was it the 10 most unusual requests for key workers, including a cheesemaker, somebody who works in a self-tanning shop, somebody else who was a dog walker but freelance? And I just think, again, maybe it's let's be kind and see the best in people. Maybe it was, like you said, that lack of clarity.
I mean, one of my favourite parody accounts at SLT Newbie. We'll talk more about things that make us laugh in a minute. But she did put, watching Lorraine does not classify you as a key worker. Ironically, Rav, clarify this for us. We're remote and we don't have our third or fourth person to bounce off normally, so we're going to check in with our producer. Is Lorraine still actually on?
Hello, yes. Lorraine is still on, but she is now presenting with Piers Morgan at, I believe, 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock. So Good Morning Britain's extended. And the Lorraine show itself is off air, but the production team are helping with Good Morning Britain. That's from what I understand.
Interesting.
Gosh. Well, we'd really like to hear some of your stories, some of your experiences. How are you coping with this crazy nuts situation? You can find us on Twitter at Clem and M. Do share anything from the hilarious to the tragic.
Yeah, we want the hilarious for sure. We need some laughter.
Clem, I'm genuinely interested in practicalities because like you, I've been asking people online about how their day has been, and the vast majority who've been into schools to talk about calm and coming together and actually, you know, not as bad as expected, one said. But the most recent science with relation to this virus seems to be that actually it's not about what's airborne. It's about surfaces and keeping clean, which is why the hand washing has been such a big deal. How have you physically, practically managed to do as much as you can to keep it safe?
So we're trying to come up with activities. I'm going to raise this as a challenge to all of our listeners, coming up with activities that will cover reception to year 6, boys and girls, 2 meters apart at all times, that are fun and engaging, that don't involve touching too much of equipment. It's a challenge. It really is a challenge. But we're using a lot of Milton. We're washing stuff. We have cleaners in, doing deep cleans at the beginning, middle and end of every day. We are practicing social distancing as much as we can. But realistically, it's impossible. So we're also doing very, very regular hand washing. Although, do you know what? Some of them have got such sore little hands now. You can see they're doing a lot of hand washing and sanitizing, which I do get, but it's become part of their practice quite quickly. We've realized that singing Baby Shark is just as good as singing Happy Birthday twice, which I can tell you, I'm hearing it at 3 a.m. It's killing me. Classic. So you could do that in the bathroom. It's brilliant.
I got that in my head now.
Throughout the night.
Listeners, you are welcome.
There's a little gift, everyone. That works well. It's just constantly reminding them. And I actually go in there and show them how to wash the hands, and we do it together. And it's just little things like that. And I mean, only time will tell if it works or not. And I think the key thing we've got to remember, our key worker parents, is these children are then going home to their parents who have been on the front line all day as well. So if every school's just being a little bit careful, we're having to be super, super careful. It's tricky.
I mean, it's really sobering, isn't it? There was some union documentation yesterday that came out, and I mean, NHS workers, incredible, but the reality is more teachers will die. There was a line in there, more teachers will die. And so, you know, you're sounding incredibly upbeat and incredibly practical, like every teacher I know who's been in today. But the level of personal risk that anyone going into school is putting themselves through. And then there's this huge moral dilemma, isn't there? We're in really dodgy moral territory, because it's not, I've had the same email as you. You know, if you've got children, stay at home with them. But just because I've got children, you know, it doesn't mean that my safety is any more important than anyone else's. And there is a whole bizarre moral labyrinth, I feel, that we're entering into around who puts themselves at risk and who doesn't.
It is hard. And as I keep saying to my team at school, you're adults, you need to make that choice. Because in the nicest possible way, because I'm trying to keep them away. It's not because I'm trying to get them in, I'm trying to keep them away. And we've got staff who are either immune suppressed or have been receiving treatment for some quite serious stuff. And I can ask them as many times not to come in, but ultimately they are adults. And until they are told explicitly that they cannot come into contact with other people, they have to make that decision. But what we're trying to do as an SLT is role model. So I'm in there every day. My principal's in there every day. My vice principal's in there every day. And we're trying to do the lion's share of all the teaching so that everybody else can have that space and time to be away. But then we've got to explore how that's sustainable going into Easter holidays and beyond. And we just have to find the right way for us every day, I guess.
So you're in every day?
I am at the moment, yeah. And I think, you know, we've now got to explore what that's going to look like at Easter. But like you say, it goes back to what matters. You know, I haven't looked at my strategic plan for a good few weeks, but I have looked at my Corona plan every day.
You've got a specific Corona plan, have you?
Oh, yeah. Do you know, actually, this is really interesting. So I had some colleagues in from United Learning last Thursday. We were doing United Trainees. We're doing a training day. And I had two other heads from other academy schools, one up in Sheffield and one in London. and the three of us were sat in my office working on our Corona plans all together. It was some of the best CPD I have had in years. We were just comparing notes, thinking about different things. So I was running through all of the kind of digital side of it and what we could be doing from home learning, because we're an Apple distinguished school, so we're quite strong on the tech side. Whereas another colleague of mine, is, you know, his safeguarding challenges in his school are huge. And so he was talking about his vulnerable children, and we were all populating our plans. And I suppose that would be my next big practical tip for anyone listening, is build those networks. If you haven't already got strong networks of like-minded colleagues, but also ones that will challenge your thinking, build those networks now, because it will be our togetherness and our community and collaboration that will get us through this as a profession. And that was certainly been the case in the last 10 days. I can't tell you, honestly, it's been amazing.
Definitely, definitely. You mentioned vulnerable children, and I'm going to admit that that's the bit that's keeping me awake at night. And yes, we need to be positive. But even, I mean, in our house today, in our house, everyone has a laptop. How's that for privilege? Everyone has a laptop. All of the work that the children have been set depends on having a laptop. Now, how many houses have a laptop each, let alone, in fact, there are many children who don't have internet access, many children who don't have laptops, many children who will be at home witnessing lack of structure, domestic violence, and I really do worry about the Matthew effect, where you know, my children aren't going to be able to breathe without reading a book before bed, but they're in a middle class household. And that's what really, that's where that sense of helplessness starts to creep in again, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's two things there. I mean, I think the first one's the equipment. I mean, you know, jokes aside, I watched my deputy head leave today having borrowed a full-size keyboard. She was literally walking out with this keyboard, as in a piano keyboard, under her arm. And I just laughed and said, what the hell is that for? And she said, oh, my daughter's been set a music task that requires a keyboard. Now, we joked about it. She was able to borrow it from us. That's great. But realistically, what are we asking these parents to be doing if it involves a full-sized piano keyboard? It was like that scene in Friends with Ross on the Casio. It's just extraordinary. What's that going to look like over time? But I think that the thing with the vulnerable children is a huge thing. And I think for all children, whatever socioeconomic background you come from, for a lot of our children, school is the norm. School is the safe haven. It's nicely boring at times, and there's a structure, and there are people you can trust and you can rely on. There's a hot meal. It might not be the nicest meal you've had, but there's a hot meal. And I think for a lot of our children, going home on Friday and not knowing when they're going to be able to get their hands back on that structure must have been devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, in terms of, again, this is practicalities now. We're having to think in such a different way. It's just thinking about how difficult it is to set remote work. I've had a teacher contact me just earlier today saying, look, I'm not very tech savvy. We had a crash course in the online learning platform. They sent us off, and I'm sitting in front of my computer with increasing levels of anxiety because I can't remember how to use it. So I'm just trying to think of, actually, it'd be good to hear from other people on this as well. You know, really simple, practical tasks that teachers can set. So both my daughters have been set sports-based tasks. Isla's been set couch to 5K.
Nice, good girl.
The little toad started at week 5 and beat me, and I'm on week 9. Rat bag. And Sasha's been set you know, a keepy uppies challenge, which she's been doing in the garden.
Loved
it. Wearing her Spurs kit just to wind up her Arsenal supporting teacher.
I
love those kind of tasks. But again, there's an assumption, isn't there? There's an assumption that there's outside space. There's an assumption that it's still okay. Yes, exactly.
You're not in the flat.
So what kind of remote work are you setting?
Well, you know, we're really, really lucky. I know we're lucky. We've got our iPads. We're setting a lot of work on Shobi, on Microsoft Teams. People are experimenting with things like Zoom, Seesaw, Tapestry. You know, we're very lucky, and I'm super realistic about what we have compared to others. But that said, we also sent home a lot of paper packs last week when we thought we were going to be closing for those children that don't have iPads down in Key Stage 1. I think our teachers are gradually growing in confidence, but we've, I don't know if I should admit this, we've gone in with the like low expectations. So let's start low and then build confidence and gradually take off with new ideas. I think there's nothing worse than setting the precedent that you're going to be live streaming every lesson live from your primary school. It's not going to happen. Well, it's absolutely not going to happen.
That's a mantra, isn't it? Is taking it slowly, keeping it simple. I mean, I am absolutely laughing at my own naivety. I think when I arrived home from my final day of teaching last Wednesday, I sat down and wrote a home learning schedule for the family. It's color-coded.
Yeah. How long did it last?
It's broken down by the minute. We actually, by some miracle, got through to 11 o'clock this morning.
It's quite impressive.
With our, because this is it, Clemmy. People are trying to work with children in the background. Now, my children are 10 and 12. You know, they're pretty independent, but all bloody morning. Hey, mum, what's the obtuse angle? I can't remember. Mum, can you take the lid off? Mum.
It's mum, just
what's incredible. Mum, what's you doing? Mum, who are you emailing?
What are you doing now? But why are you doing that? Why are you doing that now? What does that look like?
And I'm going to be really honest. I am going to say today I have achieved nothing. Nada zilch. It's not that I don't have stuff to do, but I have achieved nothing. And you know what? It doesn't matter.
I saw a really, really brilliant email. And if I can find it, I'll post it on our Clem and M Twitter handle, because it basically said you can do your color coordinated schedules, you can do your mindfulness break at 10:45 before making an organic smoothie at 11 before going into an hour and a half of maths and English, but realistically your kids need to snuggle up on the sofa, they need to read a book, they need to know that it's all going to be okay. And actually, for every year five child that doesn't make expected progress this year, they'll be the same as every other year five child in the country. And when we come to the end of this disaster, they won't remember how brilliantly you delivered your learning objective that was differentiated three ways of the Platinum Greater Depth Challenge. They'll remember that you kept it together and that as a family, you actually spent some time coming back together and doing stuff together. And it will be okay.
I've got a friend, Karen. Hello, Karen, who's been in isolation with her son for about 8 days now, and she did say it's a bit like a spa holiday, but I'm one of the staff. This little boy is lying in bed playing Fortnite and ordering fresh hummus.
Brilliant! I love
and
that.
Peeled grapes. From his bedroom. So I think this comes on to the final thing I wanted to talk about, I suppose, and we'd be interested in hearing your ideas on how you're looking after yourself at Clem and M. But this whole idea of self-care and patience, and I'm going to admit it, I'm finding it tough. I am the least patient person I know, and I've just realized that actually it's a question of rolling with it. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Yeah. And if this week the children don't learn quadratic equations, then
they won't learn them, and they'll find it another time.
I know
it's really easy for me to say that, but they will find it another time. Whereas what they won't be able to find again is their mental health and well-being. Like that has to be the focus. That has to be the most important thing. How many years have we talked in education about we don't know what the future holds and, you know, what skills they'll need to be successful in 2030? Forget 2030. It's now. It's now where they need to be creative, adaptable, flexible, resilient. All of these words that we've given so much lip service to for the last 10, 15 years. It's now that we have to make that happen. So we as the adults have to role model it and show them how to do it and say, do you know, I don't know what it's going to look like. Or, yeah, you're right, today's been an absolute disaster, but tomorrow will be better. And we have to start rolling with it.
I don't know about you. I didn't expect the exams to be cancelled. I thought I just somehow, like cockroaches, that exams would always exist.
Yeah.
But they have been. And in a strange way, most people don't seem overly bothered, though I do really feel for the hardworking young people who were all ready to go.
I think my sense is the year 11s and year 13s are very perplexed. I wouldn't say devastated, but very perplexed. And I think, again, it goes back to that thing of clarity. You cannot announce that you're shutting all schools from 4 o'clock on Friday and that the exams in May and June won't happen and then just put a full stop. You can't do that. You cannot do that to young people. I mean, I certainly remember when I was 16, I'd have been running around my school cheering and whooping because I probably didn't realise how important it was. But actually, these kids want to know what's going to happen instead. And I think that was brutally selfish. I'm sure it wasn't intentional, but, you know, these children have real anxiety to not know what they're doing. But apparently lots of universities are already emailing to say that their offers are going to become unconditional. I know lots of schools that are guaranteeing movement into sick form, you know, that a lot of individual places are taking responsibility for that well-being and making sure the children are okay. But I assume it will be done on kind of coursework and evidencing predicted grades and that sort of thing.
Well, it is being done on predicted grades. And I did think this was deeply ironic that it actually takes a global pandemic for the government to trust teachers to make accurate predictions. Finally. And as Vic Goddard was saying online the other day, I wonder if that actually gives us a prime opportunity to rethink the whole system.
Yes. Vic Goddard's been an absolute legend in the last couple of weeks. Absolute hero. I watched him being interviewed on, I think it must have been ITV. Absolutely brilliant. And I thought, if you're speaking for all of us, then crack on, because I will happily have him speak for me. He was amazing.
Vicky, if you're listening, I hope you're looking after yourself as well.
Agreed. I think we all need to look after each other. And I think, you know, that goes back to your final point about that self-care thing. I think parents need to self-care and think about how they're going to do this. We were joking about how, you know, the tweets that are saying, oh, teachers are worth millions and millions of pounds having done an hour and all those sorts of jokey tweets. But in all seriousness, parents aren't teachers. We can't have the same expectation of them that we have of ourselves. And parents need to be okay with that too. The children need to self-care. Teachers need to self-care. School leaders. We just need to look after each other as well. Look after ourselves and look after each other.
And if you guys have any practical tips on how you're looking after each other, I mean, I don't know. I personally am finding that, one minute I'm absolutely fine. The next minute I feel that humanity is completely doomed and I don't know what to do and there's nothing I can do about it. And then I go out for a walk, and as long as we still can, you ran for about 15 hours yesterday. I ran 15 minutes today.
Well, do you know, I don't mind leaving our listeners with a bit of a laugh. So I did a 3-hour run yesterday, and it's all marathon training. Training for a marathon has been cancelled, I hasten to add, but marathon training was the same. And we're about an hour in, and I'm in my new sweaty Betty leggings. I'm feeling good about life. I feel like, I'm owning this. This is life goals. And then some cyclists came up behind me, and I tried to run whilst looking at cyclists behind me, hit a tree trunk and absolutely stacked it across the Thames towpath, and then did that thing that we all say we shouldn't do, which is try and style it out. So I'm like, no, I'm fine, absolutely fine, absolutely fine. Brushing myself down, mortified, dying inside. And my husband then helpfully went, oh, I did see those tree trunks and thought I'd say that to you. And then I thought, no, that's a statement of the obvious. And then I saw you lying on the floor. And then, reader, you can imagine what I said next.
Oh God, that is brilliant. Oh, you know what, it's so weird.
I'm absolutely fine. A bit stiff today, but I'll do PE with the kids tomorrow and I'm sure that'll loosen me up. But no, it's all good. You have to take the rough with the smooth, literally. So I think it'd be really useful at this point for us to share some really practical tips about what could be working for you in the coming weeks and months. And so I'm just going to reflect on some of the things that have worked for us in the last few days. First one being, if you're able to get back into school, albeit for a short window, make up a little pack of resources. So whether it's multi-link, whiteboard pens, that sort of thing. So that if you are able to film yourself teaching at home, you've actually got the practical resources that your children are used to seeing. That's been really, really useful for my teachers. Another thing I'd suggest is finding a few staff children that you can almost do dummy tests on. So send them a short video or send them a short clip of what you're hoping will work and see if it works for them. Because the last thing you want to do is email out to all 200 of your key stage 2 parents only to find out that what you sent out doesn't work. So that's been really, really useful as well. And what have you been picking up on in terms of useful tips?
I've really enjoyed having daily contact with my daughter's teachers. It's been a bit of a lifeline. Now, I know that's quite an ask from teachers, but even if it's just a couple of times a week, just getting in contact yourself, throwing in a joke, throwing in a challenge, is absolutely wonderful. And I think someone gave a great practical tip. Don't try and do loads of sophisticated PowerPoints or sophisticated webinars. Just a short video of you as teacher addressing, talking to your students, creating that contact. Works really, really well. I mean,
just thought of something while you're saying that. It might be worth schools sending out to their parents their calculation policies. I know that sounds like a really boring thing to say, but how many times have you sat down to do maths and gone, no, that's not how we taught it, or that's not how we learnt it? Children's understanding of specific strategies has moved on. So maybe parents getting that calculation policy again and learning how the children do it might be quite useful.
Yeah, which just requires finding a document on the system and sending it out to the parents. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're talking to someone who couldn't remember what an obtuse angle was this morning.
Have you tried chunking yet?
Oh, what's chunking? That sounds it's really weird. I was good at maths at school, and I've just forgotten all of it. Anyway, my biggest practical tip is go with the flow. Be kind to yourself. Yeah. Don't overestimate what you're going to be able to achieve in a certain amount of time if you've got kids in the background. But what you can do is what we're trying to do in our house. Is everybody's got their quiet corner of the house, and if someone wants to go off and be quiet, whether it's to work or just to rock in the corner, that whole thing of just switching your devices into airplane mode so that you're not constantly bombarded.
I think the other thing is to not try and reinvent the wheel. I mean, there are so many fantastic resources that are going free at the moment. Head Teacher Chat's got a brilliant blog going where he's just adding in, or she, that's such an assumption, sorry, he or she is adding in some fantastic free resources so that you're not having to go and finding them. They're just there ready for you to take. And I've enjoyed some parent groups of friends of mine who've got children, although their language has hit my firewall on several occasions. But some of them have been fantastic. So just build those communities and share. Just share. We're all in the same position. So I think that's probably my biggest takeaway, is definitely sharing. Yeah. But you guys might have some other incredible ideas. So if you do, please get in touch with us on our Twitter handle at Clem and M, or on either of our Twitter handles. So I'm at C Stewart SHS.
And I'm Emma Kill at Those That Can.
So do just let us know. And again, also let us know how we can support you over the coming days. You know, doing this remotely has been a step into the unknown, and we're unlikely to be able to interview people in the next few weeks and months if we're all socially isolating and doing that properly. So do please get in touch about how we can make some podcasts that will keep you guys going for those long, long hours at home on your own.
And please wash your hands, stay safe, and we'll see you for the next edition.
Keep in touch.
The Clem and M Podcast with Clemmy Stewart and Emma Kell. Produced by Rav Vadgama. The Clem and M Podcast is a Those That Can production.